Today's the day. It's the day when so many people around us are thinking about that picture on the screen, are thinking about that empty tomb, thinking about the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. And I'm thankful for any day when people are thinking about Jesus. I'm thankful for any day when people are thinking about the fact that Jesus didn't just die, but He was raised from the dead. You know, when you read through your Bible, God tells us He wants us to celebrate that event. He tells us He wants us to commemorate and to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, and He tells us that's what the first day of the week is all about. Jesus was raised on the first day of the week, and He wants us every first day of the week to come together and to celebrate the fact that our Savior was raised from the dead. But what does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with you? What is the fact of what happened 2,000 years ago? What is the resurrection of Jesus? What does that have to do with me? And as you think about the resurrection of Jesus today, as you think about that event that happened in the past, I want you to understand that that event that happened almost 2,000 years ago in the past makes all of the difference today. It is not just some event. It is not just maybe a fairly significant event. It is the monumental event of all events that have ever taken place on the face of this earth, when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. This morning, I want us to think about this monumental event, and I want us to think about it in three different ways, and then we're going to make two applications of this lesson this morning. But I want you to think about how essential of an event this was. Was it essential that Jesus be raised from the dead? Jesus thought so. Jesus went around preaching, using the word must over and over, saying that the Son of Man must be raised from the dead. He wasn't just going to die. He used that same word must to talk about His death, that He must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things. He must die. But it wasn't just that He must die. Jesus said that He must be raised from the dead, that He had to be raised from the dead. This is an essential event. It is the only way that Jesus could prove to be the Christ. It is the only way that He could fulfill those Old Testament prophecies. In Psalm 16, especially verses 10 and 11, you have a prophecy that was made 1,000 years before Jesus ever came to this earth. 1,000 years before Jesus ever came, a prophecy that was made that not only was He going to die, but His soul would not be left in Hades. He would be raised from the dead. Jesus had to be raised from the dead. It's essential in order for Him to fulfill Old Testament prophecy, in order for Him to fulfill His identity as the Christ, the Son of the living God, in order for Him to fulfill His purpose in giving us life. His resurrection was essential. His resurrection was a joyful event. That prophecy from Psalm 16 is quoted by Peter over in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Peter gets up to preach before that gathering of Jews on the day of Pentecost. And his sermon, you know what Peter's sermon, if you could summarize the sermon of Peter in Acts chapter 2, you know what it was? The resurrection of Jesus. He was there to tell them that you've taken this man and by your lawless hands you've crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. And then he quotes that Old Testament prophecy, 1,000 years old, and he says, we've known this was coming because David said it was going to come. But when he quotes that Old Testament prophecy from Psalm 16, verse 9 of Psalm 16, but it's in Acts chapter 2 and verse 26, where it's the words of Jesus in essence. It's the words of Jesus as He's looking towards His resurrection. It's the words of Jesus that say, my heart has rejoiced and my tongue is glad. Why, Jesus? Because you would not leave my soul in Hades, nor would you allow your Holy One to see corruption. The heart of Jesus rejoiced at His resurrection. When those women came to the tomb early that Sunday morning, you remember what they came there for? They came there expecting to find His body in the tomb. Have you ever been to a wake? Ever been to a viewing, to a visitation before a funeral? You've been there. It's one of the most solemn times you will ever experience. You go there where there is a dead body and everybody is quiet. Everybody is very calm and solemn at that time. And I want you to imagine those ladies going to the tomb that morning and how quiet they would have been. How solemn they would have been to think about Jesus' body being there in the tomb. And they were worried about who was going to roll away that stone. And they arrived there on that day and the stone's already moved. And there's an angel who appears to them on this most solemn of occasions. And they think, no doubt, inside the tomb is that body. And oh, they're so quiet and they're so sad because they think he's still in there. And there's an angel there who says the most wonderful words that have ever been spoken. This angel says, he's not here. He's risen. Can you imagine the change and the flip of heart those ladies must have had? Here they are, most solemn and quiet, and they hear those words, just as he said to you, he's been risen. Can you imagine their hearts and how their hearts must have been so full of joy in hearing that message? They leave the tomb in Matthew chapter 28. And as they're leaving the tomb to go tell his disciples what they have just learned, they run into somebody. You know who they run into? They run into Jesus. How about that? They came there to see his dead body in the most solemn and quiet of events. They hear the wonderful message. He's not here. He's risen. And now they're leaving the tomb. And who do they run into? By chance, right? No, they run into Jesus. Do you know the one word that Jesus said to them? Matthew chapter 28 and verse 9. One word that Jesus has for them. Look in your Bible, Matthew 28 and verse 9. One word Jesus says is rejoice. That's what Jesus wants them to do. Don't be sad. You didn't come here for a wake. You didn't come here for a visitation of a dead body. You came here because there is a living body standing before you. This is a joyful event. The Son of God has been raised from the dead. It's not only an essential event. It's not only a joyful event. It is a pivotal event. Pivotal from the standpoint that Jesus was dead, but Romans 14 and verse 9 says he was raised to live again. Pivotal from the standpoint that he was dead, but Romans chapter 1 and verse 4 says that he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. He was declared, the Bible says, with power that he is who he claimed to be. He's the Son of God. How could that declaration be made? Romans 1 verse 4 says it's because of the resurrection from the dead. It's a pivotal event. That could not have been stated if he was not raised from the dead. It is a pivotal event because now that he has been raised, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 20 says he became the first fruits for those who would come after him. First fruits. He died, he was raised to live again, never to die again. And because that happened to him, it can and will happen to us. If you are a Christian today, you live with hope. You live with hope, knowing that Jesus as the first fruit from the resurrection from the dead, that we can follow behind him. And it's not just a hope that you have as a Christian. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, because of the resurrection of Christ, we have a living hope. Our hope is not in a dead leader. Our hope is not in a dead Savior. It's in a living Savior. We have a living hope. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can be justified from our sins, Romans 4 and verse 25. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can be saved from our sins, Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. I want you to look back at the resurrection of Jesus in the past and to understand it makes all the difference in the world. It's not just some event. It's not just something I once heard about. It's not just one of those things you read about in a history book and, well, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in history and that's just one of them. No, no, no. It is the most monumental event that's ever taken place on the face of this earth. Thanks be to God that on the first day of the week, every first day of the week, we get to celebrate His resurrection from the dead. That we don't come here to be sad about a Savior who died and is still in the tomb. But we get to come here and to rejoice that our Savior was raised from the dead. To rejoice, as we sang a moment ago, yes, it is well with my soul. Whatever's going on in my life, it is well with my soul because I have a Savior who lives today. But what does that have to do with me? Two applications. Two applications from this resurrection of this man in the past. What does that have to do with me today? The very fact that Jesus was raised from the dead gives power to a resurrection that I can experience in the present. Say what? A resurrection that I experience in the present? Look at the title of this lesson. The title of this lesson is that we can be united together in the likeness of His resurrection. Do you know that that is something that can happen to you now? United together in the likeness of Jesus' resurrection. Romans chapter 6 isn't talking about some future event. It's talking about right now. What is that event in the present that you can experience a resurrection? Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Because Romans chapter 6 is talking to us about our resurrection from the death that we have had to sin and our burial in water and being raised from that death and that burial. That's what Romans chapter 6 is talking about. And it's talking about something that we can experience in the present. I want you to understand that Romans chapter 6 is talking to us about baptism. The whole chapter of Romans chapter 6 is emphasizing to us the Bible doctrine of baptism. And in Romans chapter 6, we learn about baptism that it is an essential event. If the resurrection of Jesus was an essential event, is being united together in the likeness of His resurrection, is that an essential event? Oh, most certainly. Look in Romans chapter 6. Upon our time when we are baptized, Romans chapter 6 says, by the time we are baptized, Romans chapter 6 verse 2 says, we have died to sin. We've made up our minds that we don't want to sin anymore. We've made up our minds that sin has separated us from God, and I don't want to be separated from God anymore. I want to be right with God. And so we have died to the practice of sin. You know what the Bible calls that? The word the Bible uses? Repentance. Before I'm ever baptized, I die to sin. That's what Romans 6 and verse 2 is talking about. I've died to the love and the practice of sin. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to please my God. And when I am baptized, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 says that I am baptized into the death of Jesus. Does that strike you as interesting words? I'm baptized into His death. What does that mean? What does it mean that I'm baptized into His death? What happened in Jesus' death? In Jesus' death, as He hung there on the cross, from His head all the way down to His feet, He was shedding blood. Jesus' blood was flowing from every part of His body. They even cast that spear into His side after He died, and out flowed blood and water. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 that it's the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 and verse 7 that it's the blood of Jesus that redeems us and forgives us of our sins. When is it that I can come into contact with the blood of Jesus that He shed in His death? That's the answer that Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 is answering. That when we are baptized into His death, where He shed His blood for us so that we could be saved and cleansed from our sin. Can I ask you a question this morning? Have you ever been baptized? Now I want to follow that up with a different question. Have you ever been baptized so that at the moment you were baptized, the blood of Jesus could wash away your sins? Is that why you were baptized? You see, today there are a number of different places that teach a number of different things about baptism. And they may teach and practice a baptism that they teach and practice that you need to be baptized, but what they have taught you before is that if you'll believe upon Jesus, you'll believe that He's the Son of God, and if you will accept Him into your heart, and if you will pray for Him to come into your heart, you accept Him as your personal Savior, and you pray for Him to come into your heart, that He will save you. And at that moment, you are saved. And then later, you need to be baptized in order to obey the command of God. You need to be baptized, but they will teach you that once you believe and once you accept and once you pray, you're saved, and then later you can be baptized. And maybe that later is in a few days. Maybe that later is in a few weeks. Maybe that later is we're going to have a baptism day in a few months, and we'll just wait for a few months and we'll baptize everybody all at the same time. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 that when we're baptized, properly we're baptized into His death. And it's at that point where I'm saved from my sins. It's at that point, look in verse 6, it's at that point where the body of sin is done away with, not before. My sin is not forgiven me until I enter the waters of baptism and I am buried with Christ. Have you ever been baptized for that reason? Have you ever been baptized so that at that moment you could be united together in the likeness of Jesus' death? So that at that moment you could be buried with Him, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. So that you could be buried with Christ. You ever been baptized so that you could be buried with Christ? So that at that moment His blood could wash away your sin? If you've never been baptized for that reason, when we get to the end of this lesson today, when we get to the end of this lesson today, we're going to extend the Lord's invitation. And if you've never been baptized so that you could come into contact with the blood of Jesus, baptized into His death, so that all your sins could be taken away, you can do that today. You know what? You can do that any day. But why not today? As you think about baptism, Romans chapter 6 says, not only are we buried with Him, but verse 5 says, we are united together in the likeness of His resurrection. That I am made to be raised up together with Him. That's terminology from Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. So it's not just, I want you to think about the imagery that we're seeing in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, if you're in chapter 17, or chapter 6, look at verse 17, where the Bible says that we were slaves of sin. That's past tense. In the past, we were slaves of sin. Well, what happened? You were slaves of sin, verse 17. But then, are you in verse 17? You obeyed from the heart that what? What does verse 17 say? That form of doctrine to which you were delivered. What form of doctrine? He just told us in verses 3 and 4. What form of doctrine had they obeyed? The Bible teaches us that Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus was raised from the dead. Romans chapter 6 says that when we are baptized, we have died to the practice of sin in verse 2, that we are buried with Him in verse 4, and we are raised to walk in newness of life at the end of verse 4. When we are baptized, we are obeying the form of doctrine. We were slaves of sin at the beginning of verse 17, but when we obeyed, baptized, we obeyed that form of doctrine. What does verse 18 say? We were set free from sin. I don't have sin anymore. When I am united together in the likeness of His death and united together in the likeness of His resurrection, I am set free from sin, but not before. Before I'm baptized, I still have all of those sins. Have you ever been baptized? Not because you thought you were already saved because you believed and accepted and prayed. And so you thought you were already saved some days before, and now I'm baptized in order to obey the command of God. Have you ever been baptized in the way that the Bible says to be baptized? For the reason the Bible says to be baptized. That's why Ananias came to Saul, and he says, Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Why did he need to do that? And wash away your sins. His sins could not be washed away until he was baptized. And so very clearly in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, Peter says, baptism saves us. Can I be saved before baptism? No. Baptism saves us. How? not the water. The end of verse 21 says, it's by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you again. Have you ever been baptized? Not have you ever been put underwater and brought back up out of the water? Not ask you that question. Have you ever followed this plan where God says that you need to be baptized so that at that moment you can be buried with Christ, baptized into His death, and raised to walk in a new life that you did not have before you entered that water? If you've never done it for that reason. You know, in Acts chapter 19, there were some individuals who had already been baptized. Acts chapter 19, Paul found some guys, they were already baptized. And in a conversation with them in Acts chapter 19, you know what Paul learned? Their baptism was not the right baptism. They had already gone underwater and been brought up out of water. Hey, we've already been baptized. But Paul learned, no, their baptism wasn't the right baptism. And when they realized, after Paul taught them, that their baptism was not the right baptism, verse 5 of Acts chapter 19 says, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You can do that today. Baptism, the Bible teaches, is an essential event. It's not only essential, it is a joyful event. For it's only upon true Bible baptism that one can go on their way rejoicing, like that Ethiopian did in Acts chapter 8, verse 39. It's only upon true baptism that one can rejoice with others, like the jailer did in Acts 16, verse 34, with his family. It's only upon true Bible baptism that one can truly experience the joy of salvation. Jesus said in Mark 16, 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. I cannot experience the joy of salvation until after I have believed and repented and I've been baptized. Have you experienced that joyful event? For you see, just like Jesus' resurrection, if I'm united in the likeness of His resurrection, just like Jesus' resurrection was an essential event and a pivotal event and a joyful event, our resurrection, our baptism and resurrection from the waters of baptism is a pivotal event. What does that mean? What does it mean it is a pivotal event? The Bible teaches us about true baptism, about Bible baptism, that before I am baptized, I am outside of Christ. But when I am baptized with Bible baptism, I am baptized into Christ. Romans 6 and verse 3 and Galatians 3 and verse 27 are the only verses in the Bible that tell you how to get into Christ. Baptism is that pivotal event that takes one from outside of Christ and brings him into Christ. Have you ever been baptized with that baptism that is pivotal and takes you from outside of Christ and brings you inside of Christ where you were not before? The Bible says it's a pivotal event because it takes one who is outside from a right relationship with God. He wasn't saved yet. He's outside a right relationship with God, and it brings him into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, into a right relationship with God, Matthew 28 and verse 19. It is a pivotal event that must take place for that to transpire. The Bible teaches that baptism is that pivotal event that takes us into Christ, that puts us in a right relationship with God, that takes us from being outside of a childhood, being a child of God, and makes us a child of God. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 says, you're all children of God. How did that happen? Verse 27 tells us, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ to put on Christ. How did they become children of God? They were born again, John chapter 3. They were born into the family of God. So before baptism, you're not a child of God. It's a pivotal event that brings you into a relationship with God, brings you to become a child of God, helps you to be one who would then be able to call upon God as your Father. Who would be able to say to God, you were not my Father before baptism, but now I am in a right relationship with you. Now I've been baptized into Christ, and now I'm in your family. Now I'm in your church. Now I'm in your kingdom. John chapter 3, Jesus said, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. How do you get into his kingdom? You got to be baptized. How do you get into his church? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, we've all been baptized by one spirit into one body. It's a pivotal event. Before baptism, I'm outside His kingdom. I'm outside His church. But when I'm baptized, Romans 6 and verse 4 says, I'm raised to walk a brand new life that I never had before. Have you ever been baptized with the baptism that Romans chapter 6 talks about. Have you ever been baptized so that you can get into Christ, into a right relationship with Him, be able to call God your Father, get into His kingdom and His church, and to live that new life that you didn't have before baptism? I know people have been baptized believing that they were already saved because they prayed and accepted and believed in Jesus. They were told they were saved, and sometime afterward, they were baptized. But that's not the baptism we read about in the Bible. How about you be baptized today for the remission of all of your sins? In this final quick application, and I mean quick, there is a future resurrection. Not just a present resurrection in which we're united together in the likeness of His death and His resurrection, but there's a future resurrection. A future resurrection from the dead in which we will be united with Christ again. And again, this is an essential event. We must be raised from the dead. Why? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 13 says that if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ wasn't raised. Was Christ raised? Yes, He was. So therefore, we must be raised from the dead. It is essential that we be raised from the dead. It is essential because Christ's resurrection guarantees our resurrection from the dead. Read the rest of those verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a guarantee. Every single one of us, after we die, we're going to be raised from the dead. It has to happen in order to fulfill the promise of Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 28, "The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth." Did you hear that verse in John chapter 5, verse 28? Did you see it in the Bible? Jesus said, "The hour is coming." He did not say, "The year is coming." He did not say, "The 7 years is coming." He didn't teach that. Jesus didn't say, "The millennium is coming." He didn't teach that either. Jesus said, "The hour is coming." And in that same hour, all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth at the very same time. That's going to happen. It has to happen because of the promise of Jesus. It is an essential event. But that resurrection from the dead at the end of time will be a joyful event, but only for a certain few. It will be a joyful event only for those that Jesus talks about there in John chapter 5, those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Won't that be a joyful event? To be raised from death to eternal life. Will that be a joyful event? A joyful event when we realize that our temporary existence that we had on this earth is no longer. But now we have been raised to life. And having been raised to life, it will be a joyful event because 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says it's only those who are dead in Christ who will be raised to meet the Lord in the air. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Are you afraid of heights? You're going to meet the Lord in the air. Are you afraid to get on airplanes? You're going to meet the Lord in the air. Guess what you're not going to be concerned about when you meet the Lord in the air? You're not going to be concerned about heights. You're not going to be concerned about gravity. You're not going to be concerned about the earth. When you meet the Lord in the air, you know what kind of event that is? A joyful event. When you get to go, but that only happens to those who are in Christ. That only happens to those who have been baptized into Christ, live in Christ, and die in Christ. It is only a joyful event for those who will be raised to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." I want to see the smile on your face when you hear those words. I want to be there to see the joy in your heart when you hear those, but only certain people are going to hear those words. Only good and faithful servants in Christ are going to hear those words. Are you going to hear them? Is the resurrection from the dead going to be a joyful event for you? You can make sure that it is today. And just as these other resurrections have been essential and pivotal, our resurrection from the dead at the end of time will be pivotal. Because when we are raised from the dead, this corruptible body. Have you noticed your body is corruptible? Have you noticed your body is falling apart? Have you noticed that your body isn't what it used to be? Have you noticed that your body has got more pains and problems and creaks and groans than it used to? I'm not talking about your car, I'm talking about your body. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that your body is corruptible? Resurrection from the dead is a pivotal event because it'll take that which is corruptible and you will put on incorruption. A body that doesn't have any more creaks or groans or moans or groans for that matter. A body that's incorruptible. Romans 8 and verse 11 says God's going to take this mortal body and He's going to give it life. Immortality. Are you ready for that? It's appointed unto men once to... Have you heard that verse before? I think three of you heard that verse before. It's appointed unto man once to die. Aren't you glad that once you die, you won't die anymore? This mortal body is going to put on immortality. It is a pivotal event. When you go to heaven, you're not going to die ever again. When you are raised from the dead, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says that when we are raised from the dead, we will see Jesus as He is, and we will be like Him. What kind of body is that going to be? We don't know, but we know what it's going to be like. It's going to be like Jesus. Is that a pivotal event? Is that pivotal when your body is made to be like that of Jesus? When you see Jesus. And then my favorite verse, that verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it doesn't just say that those who are dead in Christ are going to be raised to meet the Lord in the air. That's pretty good. But it gets better than that in verse 17. In verse 17 it says, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Pivotal. From this temporary earthly existence to going to a place where I will never be separated from my God. I will have immortality. I will live in an incorruptible body. I will be with the Lord, and I will be with Him forever. Have you been united together in the likeness of His resurrection? If you haven't, if you've never been baptized so that you could be united together in His death, in the likeness of His death, and united together in the likeness of His resurrection, why don't you do that today? Why don't you make up your mind that today is the day that you need to give your life to Him? He gave His life for you 2,000 years ago, and He was raised from the dead. Why don't you join Him? Be buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. It starts by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. John 1 and verse 12 says, belief does not save you, but it gives you the right to become one of His children. Having that right, will you not make up your mind today to die to the love and practice of sin? Romans 6 and verse 2. To repent, Luke 13 and verse 3. In order to make up your mind, I want to stop doing what's wrong, start doing what's right. If you're ready to make up your mind to do that today, you can confess the faith that's in your heart. That's what they did in the New Testament in order to become a Christian. They confessed the faith that they had in their heart that Jesus is the Son of God. And then they were buried with Him, united together in the likeness of His death, in order that when they were raised up, they could be united together with Him in the likeness of His resurrection. So that at that moment of baptism, and not before, not through acceptance and belief and prayer, but through baptism, the blood of Jesus washes away every sin you've ever committed. God adds you to His family, to His kingdom, to His church, and God enrolls your name in heaven. If you haven't been baptized so that that can happen, why don't you do it today? To be raised to walk a new and faithful life with the Lord. If you're not ready, if you're not ready for Jesus to come back, if you're not ready for that final resurrection to take place, then why don't you get ready today? Make the change you need to make. Give your life to Him right now as together we stand and sing.